Hello, hello. Welcome back to Transistor Radio, where we have a chip chat. It's been quite a long time. I hope everyone had a good holiday.
That sounds like a threat, man. I hope everyone had a good holiday. Like, in an ominous...
Yeah, because... Now it's back to the slave mines.
Yeah, back to the content farms. Get out there, back to the content farms. I need you to be making content. And we've been doing a bad job of that, so that's why we're here.
And because
we got called out on Twitter, and now
we did get called out on Twitter. Oh man!
And aren't you the one who got called out, John? Yeah. Like, me and Doug were not really.
Yeah,
called out.
That cracks me up, man. I was like, John, it's all your fault. I was like, dude, John's the newest guy to this. This has been a long-standing tradition before John was.
I'm supposed to be the whip cracker. I wasn't cracking no whips.
Yeah. Well, here you are.
You know, well, the problem is, you know, neither you nor I own cars, right? And so we figured, hey, at least you should be able to drive this horse and buggy. But, neither myself or John drive cars. And so we feel very qualified today to talk about the automotive landscape.
Okay, that was a pretty good... I'll give you some props on that intro. But yes, I guess... we're going to talk about automotive first and foremost. I guess I'm going to drive this one. Yeah, you like that? Like the follow-up pun? I'm going to drive this one with keeping everyone up to date on the big news. And that is, first and foremost, it's Mobileye. Mobileye reported their recent results, and they really sucked. Pretty much their Q over Q guide is down 65% or something like that, which is about as bad as I've ever seen it. And what I thought was more interesting is they talk about going from...
Oh, Doug, can you say that number again? Because I know when I saw it, I DM'd you on Discord, and I was like, what?
Yeah, what company is this? So it's I believe it's 50% year-over-year and 65% quarter-over-quarter. So pretty much, I think...
65% decline quarter-on-quarter.
Yeah, they're going to go...
Right? Like, their business more than half.
Yeah, they're...
Like, that is fucking insane.
They're going from 650 a quarter to 220, 230, something like that. And
to be clear, their guide was also like their guide before they cut was like quarter on quarter flat, right?
No, it's quarter on quarter growth actually. So, pretty much.
So they went from growth to down 60%.
So this is what I have been waiting for, and I've been saying ish that it's been weakening in 2023. Finally, and I'm not joking. This is like manna from heaven because it's about damn time. The automotive inventory cycle is here, and I think it's going to be pretty bad. I think the thing... So let's summarize the story, all like the big picture, because I think that helps. 2020, you know, all the chip shortage stuff happens, then bam, now no one can get a car. The auto companies were like, damn, these semiconductors really matter. So they made all these supply commitments, and they're like, you know what? We're never going to ever have just in time. We're going to do just in case. So they did all this stuff, and then on top of that, there's also this aspect that ADAS and EV are big content growth stories. So I think I would say content growth probably 4 or 5x'd in like 2 or 3 years. So all this happens, they're packing up supply, they're ordering all these chips.
What's ADAS?
That is a great question. I think it stands for...
Advanced Driver Assistance?
Advanced Driver Assistance System. Feels like they
Got
could...
It.
They
so
could drop the S,
it's
but
like
hey,
auto self-driving, right?
Yeah, yeah. So like level one, it's like hey, it stays in the lane, or I think that might be level two, level three. Like hey, because it can automatically drive on the highway, stays in the lane. It'll beep at you or automatically brake if you're too close, stuff like that.
So speaking of not owning a car, right? So before I sold my vehicle, it was actually a truck. It was a GMC Sierra. And that's the one that I took touring around the national parks in 2020. But my favorite feature about it was, you know how cars, like if you're about to, you know, do collision warning, they might flash a light at you, might make a sound. This one had the option of, and I say option, it was either it could make a sound or it could do this. And it was literally vibrate your butt seat, right? I'm not even joking. It would vibrate your butt.
That sounds like
so
a lot of semi
swerving out of the lane. Vibrate your butt.
That's a tactile semiconductor.
Like it was amazing,
yeah.
Right?
I didn't realize that was a feature. You get a little vibration.
I mean, it's pretty good, right? Like, you know, feeling a vibration in your butt, like when you're about to fall asleep and you're like getting out of the lane. Ooh.
Oh, wow. All right, let's go back to. Sorry, we derailed. we derailed you, Doug, with butt shaking.
Oh, sorry.
Teacher's back.
Oh man. Okay, sorry. Eight ass. Okay, yeah. Lots of content growth, and what happened was, so this entire time, seasonally adjusted. It's like SAR, whatever. Essentially, the cars they sell every single year didn't go back to the pre-2019 peak. And so everyone was scared, hey, they're building inventory. But you could point to EV and ADAS being like a 5x increase in content. And you're like, well, the content increases outpace the inventory, aspect. And
I mean, every like few months you could see an automaker be like, yeah, well, chips are now, you know, 20% of the value of the car. Electrical systems are 50% of the value of the car. Right, and then the car companies that are doing the best, like BYD and Tesla, are the best at electronics, right? Mm-hmm. So there's a lot of narrative.
Yeah. There's, and then also, like, even as late as 2023, they're like, we still can't get these chip parts. So, anyways, massive over inventorying, and if you know anything about the semiconductor industry, is what happens with over inventory is eventually, one day, someday, you create a cycle. So, like, you know, so supply goes up, demand is there, and then you just need a little bit of a burp in demand, and then boom, now all of a sudden we have way too much semiconductors. So in the case of But Doug,
this time is different.
Okay, this time is not different. what's amazing is, like, it's never different, but it, you know, obviously it's going to grow a ton. Like even Nvidia, which who knows if it's going to shrink this year. It's gonna, like, NVIDIA is the most secular market of all time, and there will be a pretty traumatic, like, hiccup or burp at some point. And everybody's like, the world's ending, and, like, just because of how.
My favorite thing about the semiconductor industry is, like, when there's an upcycle, there's always the idiot that's, like, trying to stand in front of the train before it's even, like, accelerated to maximum speed. And it's like, no, there's a cycle, and there's gonna be inventory problems in a year, and this and that.
Yeah.
And then like it keeps going. It just keeps speeding up. Like, you cannot get off this train. And then, like, everyone capitulates. And as soon as everyone capitulates, is when the market fucking.
Yeah, breaks. And then when it's the actual inverse happens too. At the bottom, they're like, no. We will never need this much electronics ever again. And actually, PCs, we're gonna throw them all away. And you're so stupid. Inventory doesn't matter. So, like, this is also what makes the semiconductor cycle so much fun. I feel like. Truly, that's all I do sometimes is cover the freaking cycle. But automotive has finally happened. Like, it's pretty much had a historic up cycle. It's been like 4 years. The data center, every single market has turned other than automotive. Networking, data center, PC, smartphone, everything has turned but automotive. And even into last year, the automotive companies are like, no. It's still, the content growth is still just so damn strong. And now we finally see one of the best examples of this unwinding. And so let me, like, kind of frame the bull bear here. Some people will be like, well, that's just because Mobileye sucks. Not completely wrong. Mobileye isn't the greatest product. It's pretty solid, but it's not like, you know, I'm not going to be like, oh, Mobileye is like, you know, is like AI in the car is going to take away all driving. No, realistically, it's not the greatest product ever, but it does have a very large sample size here. So they went from 37 million units this next year in expectations to 31 million units in expectation. And that's like, maybe there's like 2 IQ per car or something like that. But that's like, you know, that's like a meaningful percentage of all automotives. Is now we have too much inventory. So that's a large enough sample size. And then the kicker was... the kicker was Microchip, like 2 days later, guided down as well. And they already guided down. So what's going to happen? And, like, you know, I just, and at this point, it's like almost Schadenfreude, where it's like, I can't wait for this to happen. And who the hell knows what's going to happen for stocks? Maybe you should be buying these cuts. Who the hell knows? But my gut is that this is going to be a longer cycle than history. But every single company that has an automotive semiconductor business is about to guide down. And it's going to be a really interesting quarter. Like, and I think it happens starting now. IFX.
By the way, Doug. Right. So we saw Mobileye. Obviously, they cut and their stock fucking obliterated.
Yeah.
And all the auto companies went down a little bit, but really, Mobileye was the only one who got obliterated. Then Microchip cut, right, and their stock went down like
1%. Yeah.
Right. Does that mean like the stocks aren't going to go down, or what? Do you, like, does it,
dude,
mean that, like, everyone's already in buy the cut mode?
I I don't even know at this point. Yes, yes and no. So here's the thing. And this is where, and the person who I'm repeating back, like, knows who I'm talking about. But, like, you can make the argument that Microchip has already started the de-risking of the cut. So they guided for down 20% Q over Q. And then they came out the pre-announce down 22% Q over Q. And so stock market freaked out a little bit after hours. You know, it bounced back. But so Microchip has already been is starting to take this cut. But I think the place that maybe it's not so great is the companies that don't have it impacted at all. I wrote quite a bit about this. But I think the companies that are probably the most delusional has to be Infineon. Infineon is the most delusional company in this regard. Like, it's... Yeah, I just don't think... you know, historically...
I mean, they're German, right? When have they not been delusional? Look at their energy market.
Yeah, well, I mean...
okay, sorry.
But, Jesus Christ. I mean, NXPI... and you know, you didn't hear it from me, but there is some expert network calls going around. People are saying, hey, things are getting bad, really bad, at a very quick pace. There's even some alleging that people are stuffing the channel in Q3 and Q2 of last year. And so pretty much it looks like we are going to see a traditional inventory cycle, and it begins right now. And so I think it's really interesting because, you know, everyone has a little bit of a Q over Q decline, let's say, in the next few quarters. But I think some companies in particular just don't seem rooted in reality. NXPI is one of them. ON's one of them. To a certain extent, Infineon is, just because Infineon's just a... I'm not a fan. IGBTs.
What makes them delusional?
They're European.
Besides being German?
Dude, European guy. They're all... Okay, so, like...
This is exactly the same thing as saying they're German.
No, okay, so, like, look. Yes, yeah, but I'm just saying, like, the European guiding, okay?
I'm being obscenely, like...
Nationalist here,
and you're like, yes!
No, okay, so for context, okay? American companies usually guide... Like, usually guide... They'll pre-announce. European companies don't often pre-announce. Infineon is relatively early to the season. I think they'll have an interesting guide. Now, to be clear... This all winds back. Do the stocks go down? Buddy, I don't know. I just my slight take here is just like every other cycle in every other market, it's going to be longer than it was. That's really what I'm coming down to is like, hey, the first networking cut, people were like, oh, great. And then there proceeded to be like three more networking cuts. So anyways, automotive, it sucks. Oh, and that also brings me up to Air Test Systems, because that company Turbo sucks. I love it. This is like a relatively small cap story, so maybe listeners are not. Air Test Systems, as made famous by Dylan Patel. Truly, Dylan is like I used Dylan's model for like half my work. Air Test Systems sells silicon carbide burn-in wafer burn-in tools. And pretty much they guided for $100 million in revenue this year, and they've reported like two or three of the quarters. And now they're like, never mind, $75 million in our backlog. $3 million. So, stock is got screwed on earnings, and in a wit from
hey, like, Doug, come on, it's still double from when I first shielded it.
Yes, but for a lot of people, you can make the statement that
yes,
the volatility along the way is just and my favorite part about this is like the management team is kind of shady. Like he pumps his stock like the entire time, and then he's like, no, next quarter the numbers we got them. And then he's like, actually, we missed him, but next quarter, there's a chance. And then this quarter, on the call, he's like, the shorts are coming out for me. The shorts are coming to get me. And so it's like...
My favorite thing is he goes out there onto the call, and he says, yeah, so like this hedge fund who short our stock called our number one customer, who's 80% of our business, and told him that they could that our margins are too high. Like, what the fuck?
Yeah, they are all like... On the way up, they're like, you can come to our facility. We have nothing to hide. We're taking over the world. We're the greatest company ever. On the way down, it's like...
I did tour it, by the way.
How was it?
I did tour
it. Was it cool?
It was pretty cool. It was like, as soon as I walked in, right, you know, I met with them for like, you know, an hour, and then we walked the floor, and they're like, yeah, so we're going to expand there, and blah, blah, blah. And I'm like looking at the machines, and it's like, oh, that one's for ON. And that one's for Intel, because those are their only two customers. And that one is different than either of those, so it's for someone else. Cool. And it's like, okay, like, what if I just visited this fucking facility like 10 times?
I mean, that's probably get on the ground research, right? But Dude, I don't.
I mean, I didn't do anything with that because obviously that was like, you know, kind of, that'd be shady if I did.
Yeah, I don't. Well, here's the thing: is like these guys, like the team itself is.
I think it's a fair offer though, right? Like they have a lot of people like, oh, this isn't even a real company.
Yeah, I get why they do it, but I also just think it's just the all in. I'm like, they give me some shady aspects, but regardless, I mean, they've done.
My favorite done a is the job. Guy who's owned the stock for like 10 years, and he comes on calls and he's like, "So you guys are going to get into memory, right? You guys are going to get into
what
memory,
about,
right?
What about photonics?"
And even they're like, "No, calm down, no."
Yeah. They have one rabid bull that they pull, and he's like, "Hey, thank you for the question," and he's like, and he just like pumps the stock through his questioning. Anyways. All in air.
I mean, to be clear, right? Like small cap companies are kind of sad. They only ever get like a few sell side analysts, right? Like to be like, there's, I think Needham is the only one that's on their calls. But when I first got on their call, there was no sell side analyst, and it was like, oh yeah, Dylan's the closest thing to a sell side analyst. I'm like, but I'm not a sell side analyst.
Yeah, they're
right. And even now, I think there's only two sell side analysts that get on their calls.
Yeah,
and then there's like another two people who are just like big holders. Like I think one call like 2 quarters ago, somebody bragged, "Yeah, so we own 3% of your company." I'm like, "Okay, dude."
Yeah, William Blair, Craig Halem, and we're not going to say mean things about Craig Halem, but whatever. All in all, Air Test Systems. Okay, that's probably a giant segue. But summary is automotive. Kind of bad, right?
Wait,
now.
Doug. Back to Infineon, right? So you mentioned.
Oh, okay.
Obviously, they're German, so you know we hate. Right?
No, I mean
the Germans don't want to give enough aid, military aid to Ukraine, but that's besides the point. Germany, they're Germans, but is it mostly because they're first in reporting earnings, and that's why they're going to be like the biggest?
I think that's
because by the time the end of earnings season comes down, people's like thoughts are developed. And like, oh yeah, this is the, you know, we're fine.
Yeah, I would say that's one of the reasons why. I also think that the guides they've given so far, the next Q they have a moderately down guide, but I also think Infineon is like, the quarter after that, the implication on forward estimates is like up a ton, and everyone's like, I don't know, and I don't agree with that. And high level, man, what's happened so far is that there's been a lot of inconsistency with like the three or four big MCU companies. Actually the big one is Microchip and Microchip, STM and Infineon will all be saying different things about their companies at the same time. Like one will be like, oh no, we're going to grow sequentially through the year. And the other is like, no, we're actually about to have inventory down. And then like what happens is the American companies are a little quicker. And so this is just like, you know, some real blue-blooded American capitalism at work. I think Microchip's cut is probably, you know, responsible, but I think that what's to come, and this is my favorite part about it, what's to come is a little bit of carnage. And so I think that that's going to be really fun. And on top of this, I think that the industrial market.
What is our favorite, what's our favorite CEO, Hussein El-Khoury,
yeah, doing? So... Allegedly, and this is rumors, no substantiation. There's stuff in the channel right now, so that's gonna be bad, right? You stuff the channel. There's
wait, hold on. I thought you just. I thought he was like everybody loves him. He's a Wall Street.
He is amazing. He is amazing, and I will give him the props for it. But the other thing too is like he's been running. You know, you run these things. You run the train until you're like, whoops, there's no tracks, and then you rip the tracks off, rip the guide out. But I do want to maybe spend a second here. To talk about what onsemi has done, because I think it's an amazing story. Previously, they had an activist. The activist was like, you guys have all these fabs, and you make no money. Your utilization is like 50% on these fabs. Why are you burning so much money? And they're like, you know what? You're right. Hassan gets in, and then he's...
Who is the activist?
I want to say it's Starboard. Yeah.
Okay.
They... Maybe it was Valley Act. Who is the activist? But they get in, and they're like, okay, well... It was Starboard. They get in, and then they're like, okay, well, we're going to do this fab lighter thing. So they sell some of the fabs. But then on top of that, the thing that I thought, and this is like really the brilliance here, is they quit some of their business. Part of their business is like this extremely low gross margin business. And they're like, you know what? We're just going to slowly quit it. And they did it during the shortage. So they actually managed to quit it at a more profitable rate than they should have. So they wound on this business, essentially had no headwind of this. And then they took one of their one of their 150 millimeter fabs and they converted it to a silicon carbide fab. And they did it brownfield, which is way cheaper than doing it greenfield. And then they like pretty much went from a number, you know, didn't have any silicon carbide at all to being like a very convincing number two behind STM. So they went and actually that's probably a good question because they have this guide that next year they're going to do like $1 billion in silicon carbide revenue. STM is something like that as well. And I would guess that that guide will be at risk. So anyways, we're going to see, but...
Yeah, I think that's an important point that you kind of mentioned with Air Test Systems, right? They're number one customers on semi, like 80% of revenue or a bit more even, and they didn't order anymore.
Yeah.
Right? And so Air Test Systems stock is literally like, is Infineon going to order? Is STMicro going to order? And become a customer, and is onsemi going to order more, right? And the fact that they didn't order more is negative for sort of the sick ramp.
Yeah, yeah. And my favorite part about this is they freaking told us last quarter, like wrote about it. Honestly, didn't even take the advice that well. I shorted some. I was like, oh, sick, made some money on it. But Air, pretty much what happened was they're like, onsemi is like, by the way, our CapEx, it's going down next year. Capital intensity going down. In fact, and you like do the numbers and they're like CapEx will be down 20% next year. And on an Air Test System, 88% customer is like, yeah, revenue's gonna be up 30% next year. And you're like, I don't believe you. So here we are. All now Air's guide's looking horrible. Automotive looks like it's in the shitter. People should start buying cars again, but only cars made with Western semiconductor OEMs in them. You know, if you buy a BYD, you're not cool with us, I guess. And then also by the way, there's a bigger underlying this whole thing, because one of the big drivers for most of the Western automotive OEMs is actually selling chips into China, specifically EV cars in China. Obviously, a lot of the EV companies are starting to do vertical integration. BYD is our favorite and best example of this on this podcast. At the same time, there's like kind of this rock in this hard place for a lot of the Western automotive semiconductor companies because, now there's over inventory. And yes, I do believe it's an extremely secular market, but there's also this problem that in the very long run, the Chinese companies are going to compete with them in a way they haven't in the last 10 years. And all that CapEx that's going into the trailing edge in China, it's going into automotive semiconductors, okay? There's no other place. I mean, there is some other places, and maybe that's the topic of our next episode. But the realistic thing is all that semiconductor content, all that semiconductor capacity is going to be building automotive chips, and all those companies that have been selling all these chips into EVs in China are going to face competition. Now, they're not going to go to, like, they're not going to lose all their share overnight. It's not going to go from 90% share to 0% share, but it'll go from 90 to 50% share, and that will really, really hurt. So I think that that's the two-pronged problem with the automotive semiconductor companies that are focused on stuff like power. So, it's reckoning time. And frankly, as a research and newsletter provider, I am extremely excited for it because I've been waiting for this one for a while. Also, to be on the other side of it as well, because I think that, you know, big picture, automotive semiconductors are going to be a really good market in the very long run. But right now,
Devil's advocate, mm-hmm. Let's say like if all these Chinese companies, right, are going vertically integrated, they're starting fabs, they're doing whatever. How many of these Chinese fabs that are within the vertical integrated, like BYD or an analog, maybe not BYD, how many of these are economic? Like how many of these are making chips at a cost-effective manner? As compared to an STMicro or Infineon, which is gets to draw from a bunch of different car makers.
I think that kind of doesn't matter because when you look at like, and I know this is not the best example, but when you look at, for example, Amazon with Graviton, right? On an objective basis, the Graviton chips, right, because they've shown pictures of them, it's easy to figure out what process nodes they are from just supply chain, right? You can look at the cost to manufacture and compare it to an AMD Genoa, right? So Amazon's 64-core chip, where each core is slower than an individual AMD chip, costs just as much to make as an AMD 96-core chip. It's stupid. It's not profitable. But guess what? They're not selling a chip. They're selling a device, right? Same applies to Apple. Apple's phones have physically more silicon than a Samsung phone that's based on Qualcomm. There's more silicon there. But it doesn't matter because that $10 extra in silicon content is eaten up by the massive car that sits around it, right? So the OEM that or the ODM or sorry, the upstream supplier like Qualcomm does have to agonize over adding another millimeter squared here or not, right? The STMicro and onsemi have to agonize over their chip being 10% cheaper or not because procurement department will murder you, right? At your customers, when you're saying, hey, the price of this chip is actually more versus this one. They'll go with the lower end one maybe, right? But when you're vertically integrated, hey, it's more like, hey, is this additional $10 that I'm spending on silicon worth it for the user experience? Well, actually, yeah, to add Android Auto into every single car, wireless Android Auto versus wired Android Auto is a $2 bomb. So I'll just do it at every car. Because that makes myself look better. Hey, to go with a 21-inch screen instead of a 12-inch screen is only a $20 bomb increase. Who cares, right? So you know, they kind of go with the higher they can eat a higher cost if that means, you know, better for them, right? Especially because the automotive chip companies are making 60% plus margins, right? Or 60% margins at least.
Yeah. Because remember, how much does a car make? And the answer is like 15%. The gross margin is 15%. And so if you can make a 20% gross margin on your car because you just like eat all the costs of that profit margin on the chip, that's a really good business, at least on a relative basis. So what's happening is pretty much they're going upstream. Like how Apple now has their own internal chips. It's one of the reasons why they're so profitable making chips. I think Apple actually has 100% of all chip smartphone profits go to Apple, meaning that the rest of the entire ecosystem loses money. That's pretty consistent. And so that same effect is going to happen to automotive companies specifically. And I mean, all in all, man, it's just going to be ugly. That's just the vibe. It's going to be ugly. It's not going to be fun. It's been too fun in auto. It's been too nice and kind and normal in automotive semiconductors. It's time for automotive to ride the lightning like the rest of the semiconductor cycle. So,
how long do you think it'll be?
Great question.
They built up a year of inventory. Is it a year to clear it out? Is it less? Is it more? Because you know, you mentioned with networking, like telecom side, there were three cuts. Right, it took three quarters for the numbers to come all the way down. Right, and automotive is. I guess the telecom side, the market does not have a natural growth rate on top of it that is solid, right? At least there's still a natural growth rate here from EV and ADAS. But, you know, how long does it take for the inventory to sort of be burned down and growth to return to the industry?
I think at least two quarters, if not three. I think we'll be talking about this for the rest of the year. And I would guess we're out of it by the end of this year, but tepidly so. I mean, and like, look, this is like just some dumb pattern matching too. Look at PC, look at smartphone, look at every other cycle that's gone on. Even the more secular ones, like data center, it all took the first quarter, then two more subsequent quarters afterwards. So, with essentially a quarter lengthening, usually if I had to guess, what they're going to say is going to take two. So for context, Mobileye said, by the way, this is going to take one quarter to clear. Don't believe you. So Microchip also is like one or two quarters to clear. I think it'll probably take three. So, and for the companies that have already started, which is Microchip and Mobileye, they'll get through it sooner. The companies that haven't started, which is everyone else, three quarters. So it's time, and I'm really excited to be writing about it because automotive seriously has been so freaking boring for like a year and a half. So it's time. It's time to finally re-enter the Thunderdome. And honestly, it's kind of weird because the rest of semiconductors is like kind of chill. At least smartphone PC is very like boring and normal. And memory is like on fire. That's it. And data center is like, oh, the future of humanity itself is being figured out through NVIDIA. So, you know, that's the spectrum.
All right. I guess this will be good.
I got a couple more questions for you. All right.
Oh,
one.
All right, Dylan.
Which is John. You know, you're coming to the U.S. You're going to be here for, what, a few weeks, a month? Are you planning to rent a car during any of these time periods?
Oh, you have?
Not. My driver's license lapsed during the COVID, and I was never able to get to renew it. So I actually have to go back to the DMV and redrive, take another test to get my license again.
Oh, no.
So that's a pain in the butt.
Are you going to do that?
I will not do that. I'll do it later.
What?
I'll do it someday.
Come on, dude. You know, as a red-blooded American, you must know
you have to own 2.2
that
cars.
Driving is freedom.
Also, very sorry.
Screw your walkable cities.
Yeah. I want a six-lane highway through your through the Grand Canyon. It's the only way America can claim its destiny. You know, actually, fun fact: America is the most car-centric country in the world. I think we have like over 2 cars per capita, or we did. This is like these are like the second most car-centric company in the world. I believe is actually Germany, right? Autobahn, you know, all the
is Germany?
Germany. Yes, I believe Germany is of at least. I don't know what China's at, but like at least of the developed Western countries. I know Germany's number 2. And Germany's like...
I would think Australia, dude.
Why Australia? Well, I mean, okay, let's look
Australia?
Up. Capita.
Motor vehicles per 100,000 U.S. You know, if you discount the shit codes like Monaco and...
Gibraltar and Andorra.
U.S. is number 1. New Zealand, Canada,
yeah, but New Zealand,
Finland,
New Zealand is in Australia. Like an order of magnitude. Okay, yeah, Australia. Australia's a ton. But I think, oh, actually, Italy. Wow, dude. Germany ain't even on this list. I've been totally bamboozled, bro. The hell?
Italy?
Wow.
Interesting. I do. It makes sense.
Germany has deindustrialized so much that they're on the same level as Spain.
That's so
mean,
dude.
I don't even know what that means. You had a question for me, Dylan. You had a question. You had more questions? All right, otherwise, we got...
Yes, I had a second question, right? So the first one was, are you going to drive? And it turns out you've decided to lapse your citizenship as an American. Yeah. The second one is... you know, and the funny thing is high schoolers are getting like are not getting their licenses at an incredible rate nowadays, by the way. And that's a separate thought, right? It used to be 64% in 1995, and now in 2021, it's under 40% of 16 to 19 year olds getting a license, which is wild to me. Like, what?
Insurance might have something to do with it.
Yeah, that's fair. Also just, you know, people becoming incels, right? But that's another point. The other question that I had was regarding car ownership, right? I mean, I'm just curious, what car would you people own, right? So I myself would buy the new F-150, 2024 F-150, with the hybrid, powertrain. That's what I would buy personally. Because it's 700 mile range. It can output 7.2 kilowatts if you need it in a cinch. You know, it achieves about 32 miles per gallon or like 30 miles per gallon on the highway. So not horrible. But that's the car I would buy, right? But I was born and raised in South Georgia, so I think buying anything but a truck would be ridiculous. What about you two?
I actually have a very specific answer to this because I've done some research. I've pushed off my car purchase for quite some time. But I think I would get a RAV4 hybrid because I want 2 things, a hybrid and or EV, but I would like it to be relatively off-road capable. I think that the RAV4 hybrid is the most reasonable car. And now, if we're going to pimp it out, it's probably a Rivian. But I don't really want a Rivian. I think they look like they look a little goofy. So probably...
Even the R1S is pretty nice.
Yeah, I mean, to be clear, they're nice cars. But I'm like, I've just never been a car guy. And I'm just not going to be like, I can't wait to drop 90 grand on a car that I... Like, I don't drive that much. I don't drive
Doug,
that much.
Doug, if you buy a vehicle with a gross vehicle weight rating of over 6,000 pounds, you can deduct it fully from your taxes.
Wait, seriously?
Yeah, it's Section 179 of the U.S. tax code.
Oh, my God.
If it's a business expense, it has to be a business expense.
Okay. If it's a business expense...
If it's an owner operated business, then you know, any amount of driving, if you can justify it, then the whole vehicle can.
Oh my!
There's like some pretty like loosey goosey.
Yes, I know, but I will not be commenting on public.
No, think about your tax rate.
Yeah,
think about your marginal
I
tax rate.
I do think about my margin.
Subtract $90,000 from this thing.
I know.
And then that is
the price.
Multiplied by $90,000 is the amount you save because you're buying it under your business.
Here's the thing. Here's
so
the
now
thing.
A $90,000 car is a $50,000 or
what
a $60,000 car.
Spend the money too, because I don't drive that much. I don't drive that much.
Whoa, Doug. Whoa. Fair enough.
Okay. Last but not least, and then we'll probably wrap this up. John, what are you driving?
Well, John.
I'd get a Prius. get a Prius. I'm actually about to start a video about Toyota. I've already done one, and I'm going to do another. But it's going to be this is going to be a very good video. I'm very excited about it.
Dude, Toyota's
my family's been driving Prius Toyotas since the 80s.
Dude, Toyota's a really cool company. Like, just like in terms, like, you know, they did scare the Americans shitless. Like, deservedly so. I mean, they yeah.
Oh, they will. Oh, yeah. They did. Yeah, they yeah. sure did.
Yeah, they sure did. I'm about to learn about that. Yeah, it's. I mean, like, they're like, oh wait, you're telling me these cars are cheaper and better in every single way, and like, you know, and there's like a lot of great anecdotes about researching at this company. They're like probably one of my favorite ones actually, because I did some. Like, my understanding is one of the parts for the 4Runner like kept breaking, and what happened is Toyota's like, whoa, we've never seen this problem before. So they're like, send it to us, and we'll just send you another one. And he kept breaking it, and they just kept sending him new parts. And they're like, oh, we can learn from this. Like, they're like, this is a unique bug that must be stamped out. So I was like, wow, amazing. Like, there's just like a lot of really cool little things. Toyota's a really great company, so I'm excited about that video. And
great. All right,
and no. I'm going to close it up because we can't close without reminding everyone that John needs Patreon subscribers today.
Oh my God.
Today, tomorrow, yes. The day after, I need every person. Look at me. We need you to become John's Asianometry's Patreon subscriber because John does amazing work and he deserves to do it more full time. Or are you doing it full time now?
I'm still doing freelance work. I'm still doing freelance.
He deserves to do it full time, and that's why you should be a Patreon subscriber today. Anyways,
I mean, look, he's so selfless. He won't like force people to pay him.
Right? So we will.
Doug and I are ruthless capitalists. We're from America, right? Where we have our driver's licenses. We force people to do what we want through the power of the dollar. Yeah. But John, little old John, just gives it away for free on the internet. Is at the ruthless hands of another capitalist company, Google, and their AdSense, their evil AdSense dollars. He's at complete whim of it. And without Patreon, he'll always be at the whim of it. And the only way he can ever go full-time is if you, only you, as a good red-blooded capitalist, choose to give him money so that he can no longer be at the shackles of the evil capitalist Google and their AdSense dollars.
And their TPU dollars. Anyways, all in all, this is a great wrapping up. Thanks for listening to the first Transistor Radio of the new year. And I'm excited for another episode. And we'll sign off. This is Doug from Fabricated Knowledge. Yeah. And
Dylan from Semi Analysis.
Thanks for listening to Transistor Radio.